All right, Anthony, what you tell us when you're ready. When we're ready.
And we're good.
All right. That's Anthony, by the way.
Anthony's a good dude. He met me out front. Good.
Badass truck. He has the dopest truck out there.
Ask him about my truck. Yeah, ask him about my truck.
What was it, Anthony?
It was just like an all black. Was that a Ford?
No, Chevy? Baby, that's a GMC custom.
That thing was bad.
Really?
And it was all black, yeah.
1966. Matte black. It's got nice patina. It's got some chips in it.
Nice.
It ain't too perfect. It's what you call a rat truck.
Rat truck.
Why do you call it a rat truck?
You can just tell it's a rat truck. It ain't all nice.
Oh, okay.
It's not like I spend a lot of time polishing it, but it looks cool.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
When you were, whenever you got your first vehicle, was it like that you wanted to get the cool car? Did you just get whatever you got? What was the deal there?
First car I sort of swiped from my old man. We were living in Detroit, and I turned 16, and he started letting me drive a Mustang.
Mm.
72 Mustang. Oh, my God. It was a fastback. I believe it had a 2.8. No, what did it have? A 301, I think, a 302. And my father was... always wondering why we have to keep buying tires so often. What are you doing exactly with this car, son?
You were selling the tires?
I was burning them out. I lived in Detroit. It was sort of a rite of passage. We drove them pretty hard. A lot of stupid stuff that I wouldn't let my son do to this day.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't let him do the same things that
I did. So you had that flashy piece. You had that flashy ride right out the gate.
Right out the gate, man. Yeah. I sort of took it over. I sort of, you know, just took it from the old man. I drove that to school. I was 16 as a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started driving myself to school.
Well, what were you like in school? By the way, for our audience, that raspy, gravelly, sexy voice is of Robert Patrick, Hollywood legend, and one of the guys with one of the best reputations, to be honest, of people that I've talked to, mutual.
We haven't talked to your mother, though.
We haven't talked to...
I just got off the phone with her. She sends her greetings.
Thank you.
Greetings from Cleveland, and here's what she said. I just can't wait for that cold weather to break. Where's spring?
Poor mom.
She's a Southern girl living in Cleveland. How about that?
Really?
I like Cleveland. I like Akron, actually.
What? Akron? Tell me about Akron.
Akron, it's kind of like, it's a good place, like if you're in like an alcoholic in recovery, I guess. It's Akron. It's kind of that, you know, it's
all
like
right, a dry belt. That's a point for
that's
Theo.
That's a point, because he likes Akron.
Yeah.
No one's ever liked Akron. First of all, not for because of LeBron.
Have you actually been to Akron?
Yeah.
He's actually been there.
Been to Akron, man. Were you doing
shows there?
Stop. Just Theo's driving by, touring, just passing through, waving at people.
Waving at people? Where are you from originally?
I'm from outside of New Orleans.
Outside of New Orleans?
Covington, Louisiana, actually.
Covington.
Small town.
You know, I'm going to have to, since I give Theo a point, I'm going to have to give Matt a point.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
You know, the reason is because he did comment on the truck, so he was asking about the truck a little bit, too. So it's even. It's even, guys.
Okay. Perfect.
I'm a very generous point giver, by the way, too.
So good.
You're both off to a good start.
A generous lover.
I like that.
Those are the best. Generous point givers. You and anybody, obviously, they know you currently on Scorpion.
Scorpion Monday nights, CBS, 10 o'clock, 9 central.
Where you play Cabe Gallo.
Cabe Gallo, he is an interesting fellow.
Dark arts.
He is an Irish-Italian guy, Marine, former FBI, became a Homeland agent. I'm the muscle behind the geniuses, a team of geniuses all in their 30s. One of them's 24. They formed this group that can help solve problems. And I know about them because the founder of Scorpion is a lad by the name of Walter O'Brien, played by Elias Cabell. Hmm. And I discovered him as a youngster, 10-ish. He hacked into NASA's computer and printed out the blueprints for the space shuttle to decorate his bedroom. And we found out about him, and of course we went to Ireland to find him. Who is this person that hacked into our computers? And we come in there with, you know, Navy SEAL Strike Force team, you know, Apache helicopters, and we land on this farm in Ireland, and there's this 10-year-old boy,
wow,
this the hacker, Scorpion. So I realized that he's a kid with a lot of potential. And his parents were kind of real eager to get rid of him because he's such a handful, being a 197 IQ genius.
Yeah.
And that's a handful. And so they sort of let us have him, and we developed him as an asset of the United States government.
Very cool.
So this is, you know, now.
I feel like it really happened.
I was just going to say.
Well, it's a true story.
Oh, is it really?
There really is a Walter O'Brien.
Oh.
And I've met him. He's a fascinating guy. He's got 197 IQ, and he is a protected asset of the United States government.
Oh, my God. Whoa. And is he owned by Texas Instrument?
And there, and there really is a scorpion. I don't know what his relationship is with Texas Instrument.
Theo, have you ever wondered what to get somebody for a gift? It's one of the hardest things to do, right?
Yeah, I got my stepmother an apple cart.
Wow. Well, this would have been so much better. It's called Songfinch,
ooh,
right? And it is a personalized gifting company that brings stories, feelings, and memories to life through one-of-a-kind songs.
Really?
Yeah. They create a song from scratch for you, and you personalize it with either the existing song foundation, or these professional songwriters will actually create a new song with you. And I did it for you.
So you create a song. It's a company. You log on, or you contact them, and you create a song.
Yes,
to commemorate a special time or memory or feeling.
Exactly. Personalized songs start at $99, delivered within 7 days. You wanted to you give them the idea of some lyrics or what this person or this the situation is about, or what this memory is about, and then they create a song. You tell the genre of music that you want. You can say country. You can say hip hop. You can say if you
reggaeton.
Want a male voice, a female voice, you know, if you want it to rhyme or whatever, all this stuff. And so I decided, and the one that I was going to make it about our podcast.
Okay.
But for you.
Okay.
Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
It's called Adventure of a Podcast.
Okay. Ooh. It's country. It's musky. Andy Cohen, David Spade, Emma Rose and Dennis Quaid, Eric Carter, Dr. Drew, Gilbert Godfrey, Josh Beck, too, Thomas Lynn and Brittany Snow, even Bruce Campbell was on the show. We met all of these celebrities because we started allegedly. Courtney started. All around the world that helped you sleep with a couple girls. See how the rest of this unfurls as we hit up festivals across the world. Is this adventure over? Is the joint venture that I hope lasts? It's good, man. It's catchy. Aw, thanks, dude.
It's pretty cool, right?
It's really cool, man.
It's really cool. And you can use it for many occasions. Obviously, that was my love for you, but you can use it for weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, Christmas, newborns, anything.
Anything. And it's nice. I mean, you know, here we got, you know, a straight man and a man that likes, you know, wildness. And we're able to communicate to each other through a song. It's pretty cool, man.
And it has meaning. I mean, it's like you could just get someone like a card or, you know, like a basket of candy
fruit.
Or something, fruit. Exactly.
Or Harry and David Pears, which I think is a gateway drug to homosexuality, honestly.
Well, or you can get them a song, and that way it kind of lives forever.
Yeah.
And it touches into, they have a songwriting community of 300 or more professional musicians. It's growing every week. You get your own personal URL that has it. You can share it with people. You get the lyrics.
So you could even take that song. We could put it through, you know, a ton of, we could put that song to pictures and stuff from over the year
yeah,
and all that
yeah,
sort
you can.
Of stuff.
Yeah, you can. Well, I'm not going to do it. That's a lot of time.
Is it?
Well, I have to find the pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that.
We might have some stuff, though. That'd be fun.
We probably could. Yeah, for sure. The foundation option is $99 and doesn't accept any coupons. But if you use the promo code allegedly for 10% off your personalized song from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get a song that's already based with a foundation or a personal one. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? One that's kind of start from scratch. And if you do that, use the promo code allegedly for 10% off.
Wow.
And that's if you go to songfinch.com, promo code allegedly.
That's such a cool gift. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, well, who would like that in my life? You know,
my mom would die for it.
So would my mom.
It's like, she doesn't care about like an electric massager or
right. She didn't care about Cardi B.
Yeah.
She just wants something that means something to her. You know what I'm saying? But like when it comes to music, you know, they have some things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they want something that means something to them.
Completely.
Yeah.
This is a gift that'll mean something to you. So I like it very much. And I hope you did too.
I loved it, man. Thank you so much.
Songfinch.com.
Mm-hmm.
Use promo code allegedly for 10% off your personalized song from scratch.
And get that. Get that for somebody that you love or even somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
And you want to, like, you know, mend some ties if you have an ex or something. I'm sure you could probably do that as well.
I'm sure you could deliver a lot of news through song.
Yeah.
Like, I'm breaking up with you through a nice song.
Yeah,
kind of
not
softens
your son.
The bro. Yeah, it softens the blow. I'm not your son. I'm gay.
Yeah, that's true, huh?
Everything is better in song.
Yeah, that's true.
Go
dude.
To songfinch.com.
So wait,
there really is a team, Scorpio.
Is all the storylines then on your show like based
no,
on truth, or
no,
that's just all
no?
Okay.
I would say the first season, yes,
yeah, but then,
but you know, after four seasons in, 24 episodes a season, you got to come up with stuff.
What
but
would,
the, you know, they grab all this stuff from the headlines,
from real life,
yeah. You know, and hypothetical situations.
Right.
You know, what would happen if this happened, and how would you solve this? So the writers actually have to be very creative. To figure out, you know, what is the solution
right.
to the problem. And, you know, when the show started, it was sold to me, at least the information I got was, this is a one-hour drama for CBS, and lo and behold, our creator, Nick Santura, saw it a different way. It's
right.
it's actually a action comedy.
Yeah, it's got some comedic elements to it,
so,
for sure.
We're having a lot of fun. I think we might be the only action comedy on TV.
That's
I don't
crazy.
Know.
So,
that's,
and is that like, is it often that a director will notice that, like you just mentioned, Nick?
Nick Santura, the creator.
Yeah, creator, sorry.
Yeah, he's the creative force behind.
And so at first, were they going for like a different sort of feel, do you think? And then
yeah.
they just realized that, oh, there's the...
I, you know, I don't want to, the politics of it all. I don't know how. I do know it was sold as a 1 hour drama, and I do know that when we were shooting the pilot, Nick was writing jokes.
Mm.
So, so he kept writing jokes, and
that's
I don't
one
know.
Way to make it happen.
You know,
yeah.
I don't want to create any friction, but, you know, I mean, I, you know, CBS went along with it, obviously,
yeah.
and the show's a hit. So I don't know. I don't know how much internal politics were going on between Nick and, CBS, but
what would you,
his
what
will
would,
won out, I guess.
Yeah.
What would your code name be for Robert Patrick? If Scorpion is this kid's, let's say you had your own.
Yeah, Scorpion's
which,
O'Brien.
Who's your
who are
spirit
you?
Animal?
My spirit animal.
Who's your
well,
spirit animal? What would your code
would be
name?
Ripper.
Ripper.
Because that's my nickname in real life.
In real life?
The motorcycle guys I ride with, yeah.
Where'd that come from?
I might be a flatulence person.
I was going to say wearing small pants, maybe.
Maybe too, wearing skinny jeans that I shouldn't be wearing. You know.
Okay.
That and a combination, I just sort of rip on a motorcycle, you know.
Yeah.
I rip around pretty good.
Will you throw a wheelie up on a motorbike anymore? No.
Do you I still- can't do that. I never really could do that. I have you seen the videos of these kids on the
dinos? In Iraq? Have you seen the ones in Iraq where they're like all like turn cars on their side and stuff?
Are you serious?
Oh, it's baffling. Going like 100 miles an hour. It's pretty fascinating.
Oh my God.
Mm-mm. Those are great though. Which ones are you seeing?
Well, I'm talking about the kids that I see on Instagram. The kids that are riding the Dinas and the.
I only know I know Dinah Shore. That's the closest.
Well, Dinah is a form of Harley Davidson, so it's
okay.
A heavier bike. And the fact that they can pop wheelies on these things, it's a little bit more difficult to do than on a, let's say, a Ducati or something.
Yeah, right. Or let's say a Schwinn.
A Schwinn.
Or actually maybe not a Schwinn.
Well, Schwinn's actually, I rode wheelies on my little Schwinn 5-speed. What did I have? One of those Stingrays, you know, with the with the ape hangers and the banana seed. You can pop some wheelies on.
and I feel comfortable.
Why is that?
Well, I'm just kind of burrowed into this sofa.
I think there's a double entendre to what you just said.
Whoa, guy. No, burrow. Well, there is. It's a company.
Okay.
And they've reinvented the luxury couch.
Okay.
And from style to shipping to functionality, adaptability, Burrow has put the time and the thought into furniture buying so you don't have to.
It's really a cool thing because you get to customize your own couch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's perfect for people who are moving around and move to one place or the other and they don't really can't take the couch. You just want to buy one that's mm-hmm. a little cheaper and then you can customize to exactly what you need space-wise and whatnot. You go on to Burrow. You select the color, the size, the armrest height. That's perfect for you. It's engineered to be super comfortable.
Yep, it's right there for you. Actually, I'm looking at one in a box right now, and it comes just like that, like boom. You know, you open that box.
And then you assemble it.
And you're sitting down.
In minutes.
You can sit down.
No tools.
Lay down. You can play cards with a friend.
Yes, you can. What else can you do on it?
Rest, skip school, stay home from work.
Sweet loving.
Sweet loving, cry, meditate.
Cry is what I do.
Okay, well, you can do that.
It's no tools required to assemble and to disassemble, so when it comes time to move, it gives you one less thing to worry about.
Oh, wow, I didn't even realize that. Because I'm looking at these boxes and I'm thinking, man, this is going to be heck now to assemble.
No. Think of all the modern luxury items that you have that come in boxes now. Your mattress, your clothes, your eyeglasses.
Drugs.
Now your couch comes in a
now
box,
your couch,
too.
That's it.
There's no more heavy lifting or dinging your walls while moving in. It brings style and comfort to a whole new level and ships to your door fast and free.
That's right. So to customize your own Burrow and get $75 off that order.
Whoa, $75.
Yeah.
Off the order.
Yep, and that's you can buy $75 with the popcorn, Swedish fish, you know, get a film. Heck, you could probably find a $50 burlesque show on Craigslist and get them to show up and perform.
Wow.
And that still leaves you $25
for snacks.
One-stop
shop.
Burrow.com/allegedly. That's BURROW.com/allegedly for $75 off your purchase.
So enjoy 30 days of your Burrow risk-free. And if you're not happy, then you can send it back.
Send it back. You don't like where you're sitting? Send that seat back.
You know what else it has? It has a built-in USB charger.
Really?
Into the sofa, into the couch.
In case you don't want to get up and look for your phone, look for that, do it all right there. You could never leave your sofa again.
Yeah, exactly.
You could retire.
So there you go. Everyone, here's your new home.
Yeah.
Your Burrow couch. Shipped fast and free, super easy. Go to burrow.com/allegedly for $75 off your purchase. Burrow makes the luxury couch for real life.
Amen.
So I want to, going back to what we said in the beginning, I'm trying to picture you as 16-year-old Robert Patrick, and I'm trying to picture what it is. Were you like a badass kid, or were you more quiet?
I was a jock.
You were a jock.
Yeah, I was a full-fledged. Have picked
that. Like Hoosiers, kind of.
Full-fledged jock. Yeah, like Hoosiers. Sure.
But that's obviously before your time, I mean, but I'm just saying.
No, but I'm trying to think. Like, I had long hair, but I played football and baseball, and I had long hair, basically,
You drove the Mustang.
Dude,
it sounds like you were living the life.
I mean, I was living the
like
life.
Were you nice, though?
It was
you...
like Dazed and Confused.
I could see it.
My thing was, though, like, look, I was born in Atlanta, and I lived in Boston, then we went back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And when we moved to Boston, I found out that my Georgia public school education wasn't up to par with the Boston school, so they held me back.
Really? Wow.
And then my poor parents moved me back to the same neighborhood that I lived in Georgia, and now I was a grade behind all my peers and my best friends. And
that's
so that took some explaining.
Wow.
And also had some sort of psychological damage on me there.
Wow.
So did you turn into a different person kind of when you came back?
Yeah. That's
kind of fascinating.
Because I start Atlanta, I go to Boston, then we go back to Atlanta, then we moved to Dayton, Ohio. Then I went to high school in Detroit.
Air Force country, huh?
Yeah, right, Pat. It's a point for Theo. Just on
greatest museum I've ever been to, actually, is that U.S. Air Force Museum.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's amazing.
I've been to the Liza Minnelli Museum.
Really?
Judy Garland Museum. It's very fantastic.
Yeah, I think those shut down, I think.
I haven't been to any of those. But I have been to the John Wayne Birthplace Museum.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I've been to the John Wayne Hospital, I believe.
Is that where you were?
I've been to the airport, the John Wayne Airport.
Down in Orange County?
Yeah. That's the closest I got.
Apparently, John Wayne got around. That's what I heard anyway.
John Wayne, man.
Okay.
Now, there's a dude.
So did you act? Did you act in high school?
Third grade, I was Peter Pan in Peter Pan. That's the only acting experience I really had. before I came out to Hollywood.
Oh my God.
You know, I was just saying to my mom, you know, things worked out pretty good.
I mean,
for a guy that didn't know what the f- he was doing, you know, to say, I'm going to go to Hollywood and be an actor. I've really been fortunate.
I would kill to see him as Peter Pan now.
Yeah. I would kill to see that. I wish.
You would be such a fun
Peter is there any
Pan
video
right
of
now?
It?
No, they didn't have video back then.
Drawings?
They had a courtroom sketcher. they had Super 8 film, but I don't think my dad made that performance.
I could see you as like... intimidating, scary Peter Pan right now.
I still remember my first line running out there.
You do?
Running out there, yeah. Hi, I'm Peter Pan, and I'm from Never Never Land. I still remember it. And you know what?
It was borderline creepy.
My teacher was trying to make me, you know, you got to wear the green tights. I said, no green tights. There won't be any green tights. I'll wear like some green corduroys or something.
Yeah, something with a little bit of
flex. Not gonna make
she
me,
was scared.
Yeah. I can't go dancing around on stage in front of my buddies.
Wow.
Yeah, we had some play, and they had a guy had to wear tights, and I guess he was so nervous or whatever that he stuffed his crotch with a bunch of socks, right?
Sure.
Because he just gotten this idea, and we were young. Like, nobody was even, like, thinking about that kind of stuff. So I think he'd maybe, like, seen some videos or books he shouldn't have been seeing. So anyway, this kid...
So he looked like Baryshnikov or somebody, like a ballet guy?
He had so many. It looked like a pot belly. It looked like he like drank a lot after school. And then during one of the things, it said the scene busted open, and just all these rolls of like his dad's socks fell onto the stage.
Poor
and it was
guy.
So crazy. But some kids still had no idea, like,
yeah, like why the hell does he have socks? In
yeah,
his
this
pants?
Guy collects socks.
Wow.
You know, around his unit.
He should come to West Hollywood.
Yeah.
A whole other.
He could sell those socks here. He's probably selling them on eBay out here,
probably.
Shipping them out here.
There are a lot of Lisas that I like.
Really?
Lisa Bonet. She's pretty cool.
Okay. Is that So Raven?
No. Lisa Welchel, who was Blair from Facts of Life.
Oh, okay. I kind of like her.
Lisa Vanderpump. But my favorite Lisa of all is my Lisa mattress.
Really?
Yes. It is so comfortable and so just like, I don't even feel like I'm sleeping. I feel like I'm floating in air.
Like a mat pyre, like a vampire?
Yeah, a mat pyre.
And it's also the only Lisa we'll catch you laying on, I'm sure.
That's true.
And that's L-E-E-S-A for our listeners. And it's a mattress. And I got to say this, like, you think you have to go somewhere, get a mattress. It's this big ordeal. You got to lay down and you have some awkward man.
And you have to tie it on the top of your car and drive it home. Not anymore.
Yeah, and then it falls off into the Grand Canyon like Chevy Chase.
Yeah, exactly. Not anymore. This one ships directly to your door. Mm-hmm. And it really, you think about it and you go, how does that work? Is it really going to like blow up and really going to work? It does.
Yep.
And it's very, very comfortable.
Knock, knock, who's there? Nap time, that's who.
And they are loved by 300,000 happy sleepers and counting. And they also have a socially conscious mission to end bedlessness in America because...
Yeah, a lot of people are sleepwalking. You've heard of sleepwalkers?
It's not the sleepwalkers that they were worried about.
Well, those people need to rest.
Yeah, they do. But there's people who sleepwalkers might have beds, but these are people who don't have beds at all.
Okay, so these people don't have beds at all.
Yeah,
sleepwalkers.
No, not the sleepwalkers. The bedless. The bedless walk. I don't know if
they're
walking.
Are you talking about
bedlam? I don't know what I'm talking about. But for one mattress donated, for every 10 sold, and one tree planted, for every order received.
And there you go. So then what you have then years later is you have somebody who was a sleepwalker, now has a tree to sleep under and a mattress to sleep on.
Exactly.
I love that.
But in all seriousness, it's very nice. They're donating one mattress for every 10 that they sell, and they've donated 23,000 mattresses so far.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool.
That's amazing. Because you think about that, man. You're thinking about all these people out there, somebody don't have a bed to rest on or they're sharing a bed. And if I grew up sharing a bed with my cousin, he would always wet the bed at night.
Is that true?
Yeah. And so now think about this. He could have been wetting his bed and I could have been wetting my own bed.
Wow.
And that's beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. That could have changed your whole life if you just had your Lisa. Well, Lisa Mattress was designed to provide support and pressure relief to every body type and sleeping for a deeper night's sleep. So
go to leesa.com/allegedly for the deepest discount we've ever offered.
You get $125 off your mattress.
Man, you can, I mean, for $125, you can get somebody to come snuggle with you.
Yeah, that's true. So go to leesa.com/allegedly, leesa.com/allegedly, and get $125 off your mattress. You're going to enjoy it, trust me.
Amen.
Robert, do people get intimidated by you? Like, when are people scared of you when they meet you? Of course, Robert, very
You're not
well
scared
known.
Of me, are you?
No. I was a little bit nervous, though, honestly.
Really?
I was a little nervous. Wow. No, I'm not. No, because I knew about you and I've heard such great things about you. But, you know, you were in T2 and you've been in all these movies. You don't play like necessarily the most gentle fella in all the stuff you do.
Yeah.
So I wonder if people are scared of you just by instinct when they meet you.
Maybe. Maybe.
Get a dog bark
maybe.
At you?
Dogs do occasionally bark at me.
I could get that.
How's Wolfie?
Oh.
Wolfie?
Good.
Wolfie's fine. I'm quoting Terminator 2 lines. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's
it wasn't even my line. It was Jeanette Goldstein, as played by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
Well, now I don't have to ask.
Yeah, no, I think maybe there's a little bit. I mean, I
like children.
No, I get along great with kids.
Yeah.
You know, I have two kids myself.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I would, if I was intimidating kids, it would be a horrible thing.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
But I think maybe there's a little bit, you know, based on some of the roles that I get.
The first time your kids have, like, when your kids watch some of your work, like, what have some of their thoughts been on it over the years? I'm sure
That's
they've had some
question.
Really, like, cute.
My son is funny. He's 17. He's a musical theater guy. He does drama. He's got a beautiful voice. As a matter of fact, he just got into two really prestigious summer programs, Boston Conservatory,
wow,
Berklee School of Music, and the University of Michigan as
He's
a soloist.
Proud, huh?
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. But he looked at some of my movies in my career, and he said to me, "Dad, you're a good actor." Really, I'm good, huh? Yeah, you're good. But not great. I'm not great? No, you're a good actor. So he comes in, he was playing football, and at the high school he goes to, and he played his sophomore year, and he came in, he said, "I'm going to quit football. I'm not going to do the summer workout. I'm going to audition for the school play. I'm going to do a drama, and it conflicts with the football schedule, so you can't do both, so I'm going to do the play." And basically told me right there, he said, I'm gonna be better than you.
Wow.
Wow.
And he was. He was way better than I could have ever done the role that he did. He played Billy the Stutterer in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
I don't even know how he did this performance. It's like nuance with the stuttering and
wow.
so pathetic. And you remember the play?
Oh, of course.
You know? He was just fantastic.
Randall P. McMurphy.
So he's off and running. But I took them to see a good friend of mine works for ArcLight, Anna Barsh, and she had a screening of an original 90s print of T2.
Wow.
And they had a big thing there, and I hosted it, and I took my kids to see it. And they both were a little stunned when they walked out of that theater. They
stunned how?
You are interesting looking, Dad. I could see why you got that role. I mean, you are real interesting looking.
Do your kids look like you?
Yeah, they do. Both
so well.
They look like their mom too, though. But they really enjoyed the performance. And
I mean, your career, you've been in. Have you counted?
Well, if you go by, yeah, I mean, you can go, you know, Google yourself and see how many things you've been involved with. It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
Scrolling down.
I was looking at, like, you know, Walk the Line, We Are Marshall, X-Files, of course, was fantastic, Striptease, Copland, Die Hard 2, Flags of Our Fathers. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It's fun. It's a good list, and hopefully they get to see all the work I do.
Yeah, for sure.
My kids, they'll get to see the full body of work, because, I mean, that's essentially what you really want to be judged on is your body of work, not just one thing. And as grateful as I am for T2, because it's still the thing that people, you know, constantly talk about, and how can they not? It's such a huge movie. And I wish everybody had a huge movie in their career like that, and I'm so fortunate. But you do hopefully have people check you out in different things and start to see the breadth of your talent and, you know, get an appreciation for you and not just one role specifically.
So. Speaking of James Cameron, I mean, they're doing another Terminator this summer. They're shooting
doing
it.
Number six.
What do you think of that?
I think it's an amazing thought that they're going to do the sixth film in a franchise.
Yeah.
I think it's the sixth. Is it the fifth or the sixth?
I think it's the sixth. I don't know anymore because there's been so many versions and whatnot. Did that bother you or whatnot when they?
Well, I think that. Did it bother me? I don't know. You know, the Terminator, the T-1000 was such a specific thing, and it was such a physical performance, and I really felt like I just laid it all out there on the basketball court. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't think there's anything else I could have done to it. So I'm sort of torn between could I ever approach that character again? Is there anything else to do with that? Mm. And I don't think physically I can handle the demands. I think now it would just be sort of a, you know.
Really? You're in better shape than Matt and I.
But I just don't think it's something that, it's kind of like one of those roles you feel like you did it, and why would you do it again?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, you have to ask yourself, what reasons would you be going back for? Like, would it just be for
but like Arnold
any
goes
real
for
service
money.
Of the cat? Right.
Yeah.
For money,
but,
yeah.
You know, you might want to do it for that.
Arnold goes back. He continues to go
different.
Back.
That's his franchise. Yeah. You know, Terminator wasn't my franchise. I was just the villain, and I had a lot of help pulling that off.
Yeah.
It wasn't just me. You know, there was Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And that was
Sam
like
Winston,
and that was kind of a pioneering time. I mean, I remember.
I distinctly remember.
That was so crazy.
Well, it was. You know, it was the movie that really kicked off the 90s. If you think about
it. I was not allowed to see.
100%. I remember my best. I can exactly remember right now. My friend and I.
Were you guys even alive?
Yeah, I was alive.
Thank you, though.
We were alive.
Points for you. Yeah.
Point for me.
But point for
you for acknowledging that.
I was not.
So it's 2-2.
I was not allowed to see horror movies of any kind growing up. And when
I
saw
this. You grew up again?
Outside of Philadelphia.
Outside of Philly, okay.
And so this was, T2 was one of the first kind of, not a horror movie, but with scarier elements.
It's a horror
And I distinctly remember, I have visuals that are implanted in my mind.
It was so intense, I remember, at some moments. And it was like, it was everything, I felt like. It was everything.
It was such a well-done movie. I think it's pretty darn perfect.
It's near
I'm not
perfect,
saying
yeah.
that about my performance. I'm saying about the movie.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Everything works in it, and everything's important. And my character, really, everything that the special effects did with my character was there to propel the story.
Right.
It wasn't the story.
Right.
So the props motivated all the stuff that I was involved with that helped tell the story. You know, so that's the way to use CGI.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Spaz Williams was the one that created there wasn't motion cam. It didn't exist.
Right.
I was the first guy that they painted, you know, 3-inch computer, 3-inch squares all over my body, 360. Mm. They had me on like a lazy Susan.
Matt's been to parties like that, I think, in West Hollywood.
In West Hollywood. And they fed me into the computer.
Wow.
They rendered me in 3D.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then, you know, we filmed all the stuff that we were going to do.
Not many people have that.
That's so crazy because probably no one had had anything like that done.
It's never been done.
Yeah.
It was the first time. And I've recently reunited with Steve and Spaz Williams, and we've been talking about it. He and his partner, Mark Dupay, at ILM came up with all this.
Mm. Wow.
And that later became how they did the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
They did the same thing. They figured, well, if we could do that with Robert, why can't we do that with a dinosaur? Let's get dinosaur bones and let's map that out and feed the computer with
you
that
the dinosaur
digitally,
dinosaur.
And then drape the muscle and the skin over it, and let's create the dinosaur. And it was groundbreaking, and they won another Oscar for that.
So it doesn't bother. So if they continue to make Terminator films, it doesn't. Some good,
well,
some
wish,
not
I,
good.
Yeah,
as good. Does it mar? Did you? I don't.
Well, I think it taints T2. I mean,
yeah, that's
you know,
what I'm
you know, we have to say, look, if you've got a franchise like that, you want to keep it alive because it can make money
for sure,
and everybody's looking at it for that, obviously. But you know, Terminator and Terminator 2 were the ones that were directed by James Cameron.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you've got 3. Who was Jonathan Mostow? He's a great director. Yeah, he did a great job. And you've got McGee, great director. Great, did a great job with number 4, and then I think the fifth one was Alan Taylor. He's another great director. So they've, but Cameron is the common denominator, I think, for the first two that made them so great.
What was it?
So
like
this one that he's going to be involved with, he's the producer with the Deadpool director.
Yeah.
You kind of feel like,
in a way,
you wish you want to be in it, but, you know, in the sense you'd like to participate in the party of it all. But then you've got doubts about whether I physically just don't think I could do it. And then I would worry that it would mar the performance that I've already put down there, because that one's certainly stood the test of time.
So you haven't been contacted to be in it? Yeah.
No, I'm a definite no.
You're definite?
No. They didn't contact me. They told me you're not going to be in it.
Oh, wow.
It was via the press, people asking questions, like, are you going to have Robert Patrick in it? Because they got Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, I know.
And but see, Linda's a non-synthetic creature that has aged, naturally, and so she could be in it, 30 years down the
road.
Yeah. Her story's fascinating. I mean, her story and her son's story is really the story of the movie.
Of the movie, yeah.
And what's so horrible about it is the mankind elements, the things that I think stand the test of time with that film is the devastation that's brought on the earth, the world, by these machines. When we pick up that movie, this is where we're headed.
Right.
The machines are now AI, and the machines have now taken over, and this is the destruction, and the number of people that have been killed, it's in the millions as a result of this. So when you see all that going on, and you see all the technology that's going on in our world today, and you know that we're headed that
way, closer and closer.
The drones, the little drones that were in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
My God, there are drones everywhere.
My sister's dating a drone.
Is she really?
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. And he's cute.
And the drones are everywhere.
Well, he just started coming in her window at night. That was that's how they kind of made it happen.
Very sweet. Very little.
I have this. So do you... Because at that, when your character in Terminator really began, that's when technology wasn't, it was, computers were different then. Everything was so different. Like, almost seeing you do that, that was almost the height of technology that moment.
Yeah.
Seeing that, just seeing, this character come back together. Do you feel like now that we're in a place like maybe we should stop technology?
I don't think we can. I think the cat's out of the bag. I'll tell you an interesting thing. I went over to SpaceX. I took a tour of SpaceX.
Oh, no shit.
And the gal that got me in there was walking me by the server room, and it was this blue-tinged glass. And you saw the servers going by there. And then there's all the space, the vertical build spaceships, the fuselages out there, and they're building them right out there in Inglewood. And I look and I see in the foreground, in front, but behind the blue glass, I see the sign from T2, Cyberdyne Systems.
Wow.
Holy shit. Wow.
I know. And I went like,
you didn't know?
And she went, oh, yeah, he's a fan.
Wow.
And he's the one that's been saying that the thing, I'm already got to, no, I don't.
But when it comes
down to
it,
you're going to get the call before us.
You're probably in the top 200.
Well, that would be cool.
We're not in.
I guess they announced the first trip to Mars. So people might die.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can name it. Put Rosie O'Donnell on it.
Oh, stop it. That's terrible.
Well, get her on the podcast. Let's bring her in here first.
We had Abby Lee Miller on. That's close.
Yeah, that's true. Last question about T2 is, what's it like, Mr. Cameron is a genius, and I've heard stories.
Is he a genius?
Yes.
Is he? Okay, I don't know. I mean, I know the guy. I don't know. Is he? He must be, right?
I look at the technology that he
now
has.
Now that I'm hanging around geniuses, I want to know what his IQ is. But he's a very smart man. He's a brilliant filmmaker.
Well, and creatively, he has come up with,
maybe he is a genius. You're right.
In the film terms. But I've also heard stories about him. Like, there's one of the biggest Hollywood rumors or legends is that he once, nailed someone's cell phone to the wall because it was ringing and whatnot. What was he like to work with?
Wow, I never saw that because we didn't have cell phones back in the day. And thank God we didn't.
Yeah.
Well, then because pull out the pay phone and...
He could do everybody's job on the set of T2, and everybody kind of knew it. I mean, he could do anything. So he could operate the camera. He could do this.
Yeah.
If the guy wafting the smoke wasn't right, I remember him going over grabbing the wafter and showing him how to do it correctly. And But I looked at that as an enthusiasm for what he wanted.
Wanted
and detail.
Perfection out of it, yeah.
And I admired the hell out of him. Still do. You know, completely passionate, very focused on what he's trying to do. Doesn't really care, I don't think, what you think of him, really, to be honest with you. He's trying to get what he's going to get because he wants it to, you know, he knows film is forever and it's going to live forever. So he wants to get it to the best, the highest level he can get it. And
but I'm sure you saw a temper tantrum or two.
Well, yeah, I saw a few. Sure. But you see that. You know, there's a lot of stress and pressure.
Yeah, for
sure.
Movie,
especially when you're making a movie that big and there's so many details and things that... And you're looking around and you feel like somebody's dropping the ball.
Yeah.
You know, you say, hey, man, you're
like
dropping the ball.
If we run at 98.6, like what temperature do you think he runs?
Oh, he's a 10 something. You know? He's 105. He's got a fever.
Yeah. He's got a fever.
He's got a fever. He's got a fever
very
for good films.
He's very, very passionate. We got along great. I just answered him yes, sir, no, sir. The smartest thing I ever did. I just looked at it like we're going to war. He's the general.
Huh.
And I'm not going to engage in anything other than yes, sir, no, sir.
Huh. And it did
you
well.
And that's the way I did it. That's how I approached it.
Wow.
And he's not that much older than me, really. I
mean, right.
He's only like 5 years older than me.
Did you want to be a part of the X-Files reboot when it came back?
Interesting because I'd worked with Glenn Morgan. I'd done Lore, the Amazon Prime series. So when Glenn wrote the episode that I did, and we talked about it, and I said, you know, my schedule is... You know, you're doing 24 episodes of Scorpion. I don't really have a lot of free time to go do
right.
the X-Files unless you guys are doing it on my hiatus, which they weren't.
Yeah.
And that was sort of my stance, is that I'm not really available. I know that's disappointing to the fans that are fans of John Doggett,
yeah.
but it never went further than that. And if it had gone further than that, then I'm also in a position where I wouldn't just agree to do it, just to agree to do it.
Right.
I would want to know,
what
am I going to do? You know, what is the story? What's the arc for the character? Where's he going? What are you going to do to John
Doggett? Like, if you're opening
up
a bakery, then whatever.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, if it's something cool you got planned for John Doggett, you know.
Doggett's Donuts, actually.
But we didn't even get, that's a good one. We didn't even get to, I can have the big circle donut, like Randy's Donut. I love a Randy's Donut.
Actually, I'm have the smoky man just sitting there at the counter all the time.
Hey,
I love this.
Back of Marlboro's. I can blow smoke rings just like his donuts.
Wow, we wrote it.
Yeah,
it's
there you
go. Wait, is it weird as an actor?
That would be a character where I could do it and feel comfortable going back and revisiting it, but it never got to progress to that, and that is a disappointment to me and the fans.
Is it weird as an actor in this day and age where shows like Roseanne re-premiered last night to like huge ratings and Terminator movies continue? Anything in your career could be remade or resurrected, and you might get a call to be part of the show that has all of a sudden come back. Is that like a weird thing to have in your
That's
as an
actor? That's kind of cool. Well, you know, I was in The Sopranos. That was my first television.
Oh, I just read too that they're doing, David Chase is doing a Sopranos prequel.
Is he really?
I think he's writing a prequel about it.
I don't think I could be in it. Because David Scatino was, he was a gambling addict. Unless David Chase could figure out a way to make me come back.
Wow.
Kind of cool. I
There's
don't know.
That Maybe scary I can, part I was
well,
talking
wait a
about.
Minute. That's the, it was the prequel. I would have been in high school.
In high school.
So, yeah.
You would be the scariest Uber driver to get. Undeniably.
I should do that just for kicks
oh my
one
God,
day.
God, yes.
What a great, right? There has to be a company out. That would be a great advertising thing.
Fun.
I don't know what company before.
That would be great.
That would be fun. Hi, how are you? Where would you like to go?
Some guy sitting back there with every seatbelt on.
Yeah,
he puts on all three.
What in your career would you like to come back?
What would I like
Any
to come
shows
back?
That you were on Any that you would like to? Because, I mean, shows now, that's the hot thing. Every show is coming back, right?
Well, The Unit was a great show that I did with David Mamet and Sean Ryan.
Fantastic
and,
show.
That was a lot of fun. And I know, just coming back from Guantanamo Bay, I just did a USO tour.
You did? I went there once.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you do comedy down there? Where were you at?
I was at...
Wait a second. Whoa, I've never been invited.
Well, you could have gone if you cared enough about your country.
I'm going next week.
We went to Shell Be- or Glass Beach, and they had... we could go swim out, and they had...
Oh, yeah.
We saw the Scooby-Doo van driving around, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
What is that?
They just had, like, some weird cars down there. Like, they had some funny, goofy cars at some of the, like... That were just on the island, I guess.
I went down there with Matthew Lillard.
Wow.
Shaggy.
Yeah. Oh,
did
my gosh.
Really?
That all comes together.
Somebody created exact replica.
We didn't see the Scooby-Doo thing, but he was doing that Shaggy voice. We went and visited an elementary school. And he was doing the Shaggy voice.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe it must be gone now. Because there's no way that he would have gone there.
Yeah, you went a couple years ago.
Yeah, I went probably like 8 years ago.
So
were back there
when it was...
Oh, yeah, we performed, yeah. I remember performing for a couple of guys that were wearing the same shirt, if you know what I'm saying, on their head.
I hear you. We didn't get to see any of the detainees. We saw where they're detained.
Yeah, we didn't either. We got to drive by. It was interesting, though, even just seeing some of that.
It is very interesting, and the people down there, the servicemen and women, are doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
They got to deal with a lot of stuff. It's, not an easy... to be the people that are taking care of these guys, because there's a lot of
and there's so much information out there now, and people like accusing everybody, and people that aren't there in the press, like in the moment, knowing and they're just trying to serve their country. There's a lot of
so. Did you just go down there like just meet the troops?
And... Yeah, the USO. I've done I think maybe 8 USO tours now, and
that's
go. It's just a meet and greet, and the USO is such a wonderful organization because it brings a bit of Main Street to the troops, and so anybody that recognized me from anything,
they must have loved
that. They came in and we met them and we talked to them a little bit and take some pictures, and they basically just tour you around the base and you see different things and meet different people. We met a bunch of Marines that worked the North Gate over there, and they're explaining to us how that works. Did you go to the North Gate?
Yeah.
Did you see that big round, the Marine symbol that they put in concrete? Did you hear that story?
I have to look at my pictures.
So the Cuban side over there, they've got their building and they've got their flag, and the Marine barracks have been there since the early 1900s, and there's all these stories about the Cubans coming up and throwing stuff on their tin roof and keeping them up at night and all this, and they built this higher fence so they couldn't do that anymore. And then the Cubans decided to just put a big spotlight, like from a Hollywood premiere, right in their barracks, so they couldn't sleep. So I don't know what year it was, but all of a sudden this tent shows up on this hill, and the Marine camp is up high, and the Cuban side's over there, and they're pointing this light, and they see this tent up, and they're not sure what's going on with this tent. And these guys built this round concrete thing. It's huge. And they painted the Marine, eagle.
The red and black,
And anchor and globe. And they painted it on the hillside. And the Cubans were like, what's with the tent? What's going on with the tent? What's And so finally, they took the tent off, and the spotlight was hitting the Marine logo, more or less.
Awesome.
And so all of a sudden the Cuban light goes off.
Yeah, they're like...
But they had rigged it so they had their own spotlight, and they lit it. Now from that side, that's
cool.
You see, it's the Marine logo.
That's awesome.
Isn't that badass?
Yeah.
Didn't you say it was...
You gotta love the Marines.
It's an interesting community down there, too, because they don't really have... They have each other.
Awkward. They had Gitmo Pretty, I called it. They had about 6 women down there when I got there. And the first day, I was like, well, these aren't my types of ladies. And by the third day, I was like, I am in love with all of these ladies. And they on the island, some of the people referred to it as Gitmo Pretty.
Really?
It's like, yeah, it's called Gitmo Pretty. It's like, you're here for a couple of days and people Gitmo Pretty.
They Gitmo Pretty. I love that. Did you go to the radio station?
I did go to the radio station.
Whoa.
And also Bob Hope Museum. Did you go to the Bob Hope Museum?
Did I?
I don't know. But they have it there. They have like a museum that has like some boats in the yard and stuff.
Now he's making
The lighthouse.
Lighthouse.
Yeah,
and they have all the Bob Hope stuff in there?
I guess so. I just remember the
blue
lighthouse.
Blue and white. I think it's kind of blue and white.
Yeah, they had the refugee boats. They show the boats that the refugees have used.
I can't contribute.
Right,
I don't know.
So, but it's all right. You got time.
I've got a little time.
I had a blast. And my favorite part was we flew in at night.
Yeah.
And it was just... all of a sudden you just saw this really bright light in the distance, and you, like, you came in like real fast, and you know, because sometimes they kind of swirl you in some of those USO
combat
things.
Landing. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And like suddenly it was just this kind of shape in the distance, and it was all these bright lights along the fences, and it was like, wow, that's our base. It was like just kind of fascinating. It was amazing.
We had a thunderstorm, so we were coming in, and then all of a sudden there was this fast bank to the right. We'd lost sight of the runway, and the guy had to figure out another way to circle around and come back around from another angle. Yeah, it was kind of.
We were on a jet. You weren't ever in the service, were you?
No, my grandfather was a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army. He enlisted in World War I and then got out and went and played football at University of New Hampshire. And then opened a steak restaurant when World War II broke out. He sold the business and went in, re-enlisted, and fought in World War II and then Korea. Somewhere in there, he got a Bronze Star.
Wow.
And then my earliest memories of him are at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He was still active, but he had, I think he got stomach cancer. He died in 1963. Mm. So I got about 5 years with him.
Did you?
Great guy. Big influence on me. I still have these unbelievable memories of him.
Hmm. Did you ever consider going into the service?
I should have. Funny enough, and Matt, just because your instincts are so good.
Yeah.
His instincts are not good, dude. I've seen this some of his.
You've seen some of my dates.
Some of his Tinder profiles.
Maybe he should get a little Gitmo pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
You I've run out of he's starting to look cute in there.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. Here we go.
I've run out of people in L.A., that's for sure. I'm going down to Gitmo.
He swiped left on the. He's going. He has to drive out to Riverside even.
He's swiping left?
He swiped
what
left.
What is
on
that? Explain
city.
That to me.
It means like. So on these dating apps, you have a.
It's almost like what's that like to have a dating app now? When I was,
I don't use them. I don't like it anymore.
I haven't been on a date.
It's
since
like a game.
1984.
Well, that's probably the last time they were good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, dates have gone downhill since then. I think.
Yeah.
It's
you
like
swipe
a,
left.
Yeah, it's like a game. You look at someone's profile and their picture, and you swipe right if you're interested. Swipe left if you're not interested. If you swipe right and they swipe right, then you make a connection, and then you can really kind of like talk in real life.
Yeah. Oh,
but it kind of turns into this game of like, and then when it becomes real, I'm like,
so you
know,
if you were like, oh,
I didn't mean to swipe right.
I love the sound effects.
See, if you're like, I'd swipe right on her, that means, oh, she's cute. Or I'd swipe left on her, that means that she's
so
not
so that's
for
what
me.
That means. So yeah, if yeah, you yeah, swipe yeah. left, it's a no-go.
Yeah, I'd swipe left on that, you know, oatmeal I had for breakfast this morning.
Right.
So I'd say I
everything
want
could
again.
Be swiped.
Yeah.
Swept.
I'm gonna
okay,
swipe,
so
I'm going to swipe left on that.
Yeah.
But we were all swipe right on allegedly. But you're in, so you thought
no,
about it.
So, well, I was thinking today, as a matter of fact, I was thinking, you know, because when I graduated high school, it wasn't cool. You know, Vietnam had ended, and you know, the way the servicemen and women were treated after Vietnam when they came back to this country was despicable, to say the least. And so it wasn't, you know, the media had portrayed them as, you know, the court of public opinion had sort of really condemned all these people to...
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, spit on them when they got home and called them baby killers. And it was just a real abandonment of the men and women of the Vietnam War. And that's something that was in my mind when I graduated. But I had loftier ambitions. I wanted to go play football and go to college, and I thought I had a shot at doing that, so I really didn't consider it. But I probably should have. In hindsight, I mean, you can't go back, but I was kind of thinking about
seems
that today.
Like you're,
but it feels
so
like I should have gone into the Marine Corps.
I feel like
I should have done.
I feel like you're serving a little bit in the way that you do. You know, you're taking and you're going back and you're
being
supportive.
Well, it does feel like I am. That's my way of serving now. Yeah. So, and I get to portray these guys, you know, in Flags of Our Fathers.
Yeah,
I get to play Chandler Johnson.
Yeah,
so,
that was
in my
awesome.
Own way, I'm participating, but it's, you know, I mean, Hollywood's a lot different than actually.
When you go to, are there other, what is one of the most interesting bases that you've gone to on some USO? And have you had any like real, like, did anything ever get pretty hectic at any of the bases or was it all pretty safe?
Well, you went over, so I imagine, when did you start going over?
I don't know, I guess like about maybe 13 years ago. And then I did it for like, maybe, I think I did 5 or 6 times.
So I went, I think, the first time in 2006. So the big buildup had already happened. I mean, we were at war, and I went to Iraq. And we were just reminiscing about this, Michael Irby and I, who is the star of Mayans MC, the new spinoff on FX. Gave him a little plug.
Mayans MC?
It's the Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy spinoff. So he just went in. The first time he and I went was in 2006, and he went with me to Gitmo with Matthew. And we were talking about what it was like to be flown in and get to Baghdad and see your military in action. And it is amazing, the logistics.
I can imagine.
Staging the different branches of the armed forces, how they work together, how they rely on each other, how they set it up, the money that's spent, the production of a war, you know, the actual, I don't know if that's the right term.
Yeah,
but
I think
the,
you're right.
Putting it together and actually, and the strategy, and these are the bases, and these are the areas we go, they get more and more dangerous, and these are the, you know, the Marines are going to be the tip of the spear when they did the invasion, as they always, you know, usually are.
Those guys are
And
animals.
These guys are trained to be the best guys that we have to offer to go out and do the job of soldiering. And so it was an amazing thing to witness as a citizen of this country, to see it fully thumping. It's just this blur of camo, and you know they've got the food and the water, and how do they feed them, and the all that stuff. It's just an amazing thing to see in operation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to change the topic a little bit. Make it a little lighter.
But the USO is a great organization.
Yeah,
and by the way, 75 years of USO, and it's all on donations. So please, you know, help your men and women of the armed forces.
That's a good point.
Donate.
You said you're 59, so 60 is this year, huh?
Yeah, 60 is this
year. What's 60 going to be for you? Are you going to have a big party? Are you
probably going to have a party? I'm going to probably let my wife throw me a party. We'll see if anybody shows up.
Of course they'll show up.
Start to get crankier as you get older, you know. I'm about to start a movie April 2nd. I'm doing a movie with Ricky Bates Jr. wrote it. Ricky Bates Jr. wrote it and is going to direct it, obviously. And I play a guy that... doesn't like millennials too well. So, you know, it's going to be fun for me. I sound like my father, you know, and grandfather. Ah, these kids don't know what the heck they're doing.
What's this swipe right, swipe
what
left
this thing? What this? My day it was this way. You know, I find myself that way.
It's interesting as we get older that we kind of see like how, because when we're younger and we look at men or women that are older than us, and we're like, how could they behave like that? It doesn't make any sense.
And then
you get into the role and you're like, oh, this is.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Makes sense. How hard your parents worked to keep it together.
Yes.
You know, and
you just see it from a different perspective, I guess.
Provide for you and give you the opportunities to succeed.
Yeah.
And that's really all it comes down to.
Yeah.
So it is fascinating. And 60 is, I can't believe I'm 60. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was out here fighting and clawing my way into the movie business.
Yeah. And it's gone fat. Has it gone fat? What did it
feel
like?
Yeah, but it feels like it was just like yesterday.
Yeah,
there's this whole, like we said earlier, you can look back and look at your filmography and go, oh my God, I've been working my ass off.
Yeah.
You know, I've done all this stuff.
So you can relax now.
Yeah, you keep thinking you're going to relax.
It doesn't happen.
You're afraid to relax.
Interesting.
Because it's almost that theory of, you know, you can't stop moving. You got to just keep going. You got to keep that momentum going, you know.
So I'm curious what a party for what a Robert Patrick party's like.
I'm so boring, guys.
Really?
Yeah, man. I mean, my wife is my girlfriend from 1984.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we've been married
a lot of hotties
for
in 84.
A long time. She is and was and still will be. She is a hottie. I've been sober for 22 years. So, you know, it's not like I'm going to go tie one on,
right.
Hopefully. That would be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I am pretty boring, you know. And the most excitement I have is my adrenaline rush I get from riding motorcycles.
Yeah,
so.
Very cool.
But we'll have a party. Probably have some friends over. And
just let me know the details. We'll be there.
You know what I don't like?
Oh, me coming?
I'll tell you what I don't like. You know, on my show, my creator, Nick Santura, he's found my Achilles heel. because all the jokes that are attributed to me or get, you know, played on me during the course of these episodes, it's all about how old I am. You know, it's like, hey, all the young Scorpion guys telling me, hey, old man, get out of the way, let me do this. And it's like Cabe Gallo has to constantly prove that he's can do it. Right. You know, he can still open a can of whoop ass from time to time. So I don't like people telling me I'm getting old.
Well, out of the way, old man. You're very young. And,
yeah, you can do adult boxing. I can see you in the ring.
It's already started. We're going to take away a
adult boxing. I'm not talking about wrapping gifts at the mall.
For some reason, I just see myself wearing a pair of Depends and, you know, 5-ounce boxing gloves like adult.
Like you said, as opposed to child
boxing. Adult
boxing.
Oh. Adult diapers. No. Yeah, watch out. The old man's going to shit himself. No. He threw a left hook. Oh, no.
That's the ripper.
The ripper just ripped.
I got two more quick questions before.
Diaper chain.
Real quick, if I can. Number one, I did not know that your brother was in Nine Inch Nails.
My brother was the original guitarist.
That's fucking crazy.
Isn't
and
awesome, that awesome,
and,
man?
Like, so cool.
Trent Reznor, real quick, how do I tell this story? My younger brother, Richard Patrick, was playing guitars. When I moved to Hollywood, I said to him, someday you can make a living with that guitar. He was like, 14.
He was good, huh?
He was 14. Wow. I said, someday you can make a living with that. You know, I just said, I moved to Hollywood, I'm going to get into acting. So he started writing music. So he started writing music, put together a little band at like 15, 16. He's playing bars. He's playing, you know, the Fantasy Nightclub in Cleveland. And there's some other places he's playing. And his circles, you know, in that world, he ran into Trent Reznor. Trent would come see him play, and he was doing like synth kind of poppy music, Reznor was. And my brother was dabbling in the dark stuff, getting into like Skinny Puppy and Ministry
the
and all that
arts.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. And kind of turned Trent onto that whole world. Huh. And, you know, the next thing you know, there was a Nine Inch Nails, and Trent invited Richie to play on that.
That's
and
so
he
cool.
did and
wow.
took him on tour. And I think my brother was like 17, 18, 19 when he
That's
was touring with Nine Inch Nails.
That's
Can you
crazy.
Imagine that?
No.
That's crazy, right?
I can't imagine
he
that
was
at
exposed
38.
To stuff that you and I, oh my gosh. Wow. But he paid a price for it.
He's sober
like
now?
Like his older brother, yeah. You know, he is sober now, but he did have a dance with all that.
The dark arts.
The dark arts, exactly. Wow. But he was, as a matter of fact, when Trent Reznor found the Sharon Tate house.
Yeah, yeah.
He came over to my apartment in Hollywood. It was funny. It was like, while they were going, I was going. I got Die Hard 2, and then while they were touring, and I was going
it's
to all their
fun
shows.
At Thanksgiving.
I'm yeah, my
I got T2, and then I did T2, and while I was making T2, I tried to get Cameron to use Nine Inch Nails for one of the songs, and he was like, no, Arnold wants Guns N' Roses. But I was going like, no, man, Nine Inch Nails, Head Like a Hole, this is industrial music, this is an industrial fucking movie, man, it would be great. No, Arnold wants Guns N' Roses.
Well, they did good.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses did good. It worked out. Crazy.
Yeah, it was. They're a great band, too.
Yeah.
No disrespect to them.
Of course not. That's fascinating, though.
But they came over and they said, yeah, we found a place to live, and this is where we're going to live. Yeah. And he opened up Helter Skelter, and I looked at Trent, my brother, and went, you're kidding me, right?
Wow. The Sheridan.
And they went, no, that's where we're going to live. We're going to live in the I'm going to record. I'm going to set up the recording studio in the living room.
Did you ever go?
It was creepy.
It was creepy.
Oh yeah, you walk in, you go, oh my god, this is where it actually happened. This is horrible. I mean,
I would imagine.
I didn't like the vibe up there, and eventually Richie didn't like the vibe up there.
Mm. Wow,
that's
crazy.
And he quit.
Wow,
he quit.
Wow. Well,
and are they still pretty amicable?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I think so. I think
cool.
I think you know, Trent's an incredibly talented musician, and you know, my brother went on to have 2 platinum records, and
wow,
he's writing a new Filter record right now as we speak.
Wow, that's very
amazing.
Cool.
He did a soundtrack for a movie. You guys dig this movie? It's on Netflix right now. It's Last Rampage, not the Last Rampage.
Last Rampage.
But you should check it out. It's a prison escape movie that takes place in 1978, and my brother, true story, it's very dark. And my brother did the score. He did the soundtrack.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, did another movie that I have coming out, Edge of Fear or something like that. It's coming out. Bobby, he did the score on that one.
Wow.
He's scoring movies now.
Does your wife like to come to set ever? Or does she kind of just work as your own thing, kind of?
Yeah, my thing's my thing. Yeah, she'll come for occasionally. They'll come down and visit me. Locations. When we were having kids, we decided that we didn't really want to make them gypsies like me, so it would always be me kind of. That's why I really have a kinship with the men and women of the armed forces, because I would pack up and leave for a couple of months and be gone. You know?
Yeah.
You're just, you know. That way they had some stability, and they were raised here in the Hollywood Hills, as stable as they could be in the Hollywood Hills.
By the Tate
right?
House.
You sound good?
Yeah. No. Far away.
Far
from
away.
Well, in a nice area.
Tater tots, they call those kids.
I know you better go. Everybody,
I hope this was exciting and entertaining
super
for people.
Exciting.
It was fascinating, man. It was unique and it's different than a lot of interviews we've had, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
But it was
and
really great.
Everybody should check out Last Rampage. They can get on Netflix.
You can get Last Rampage on Netflix.
And
yes,
then Scorpion. Everybody continue watching it because it's a huge hit and everybody watches it.
Yep,
please.
And every time you listen to Filch, you can hear his brother in the back.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, and by the way, if you do go to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And you
you're on one of the tracks?
I sang a song from my brother from the movie Last Rampage.
Wow.
It's a song called Oh Lord.
Mm.
And I must say I've had fun. I've performed it now live twice. I love performing.
Wow. I want to check that one out.
You'll dig it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's cool. It seems like you've had a smooth ride.
And a nice guy.
It ain't over.
It ain't over. No.
Let me just tell you something.
Listen,
it ain't over. Let me tell you something, young man. Young man over there. It ain't over. The best years are ahead of me. And I'm going to be optimistic and keep going that way. That's what's going to
I can see it, man.
Well,
boxing. We'll see you on the boxing circuit.
Stop it. Take away the point. That way I'll win. You do have to pick a winner, ultimately, considering these points, or I don't think we have time for another round. So based on whatever you want, you'll have to pick a winner of today's episode.
Three and three. Okay, how are we going to do this?
It's up to you.
Well, let's see. Who's a Rams fan?
I am.
Yeah, I don't even know what basketball or...
Theo gets it.
I just knew the answer was I am.
Theo gets it.
I got one of the best defenses right now. Picked up some
great
players.
We got one of the best teams in the NFL.
It's crazy.
We got Dominican Chu.
Yeah.
We did get him, right?
Wait, Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. Did you?
Yeah,
today?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday.
I'm out.
That's insane.
I don't even know how to say the guy's name right, but with him, with Donald?
Who knows?
I mean, the defensive player. I mean, those two guys? Forget about it. And this new young coach, Sean McVay, he's like 31.
Oh, I like him. He's a gunner.
He's a hard charger. Yeah.
And Goff is good. I watched him play twice last year.
I go to all the home games. Yeah, I got season tickets. I go to all the home games. I got to tell you what, it's great to have the NFL back in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I watched him beat the Saints last year. Now I'm a Saints fan, so I was a little disappointing, but.
You're now a Rams fan.
I am now.
Look at me.
For the win.
You are now a Rams fan.
I'm a Rams fan. I'm going to go home and watch videos of the Rams on the internet. The animals as well.
I'm going to go find out who the Rams are. Everybody, Robert, thank you so much for coming in here.
Theo, it was a pleasure. Thank you. And
great talking.
Great talking with you guys.
All right. We'll talk to you next time, guys.